Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Well, good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring, and my fine wife is in Los Angeles, awaiting the arrival later today of our newest granddaughter. Hallelujah. Pray that baby and mother are healthy from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. You know, I love people, but they're just some people I prefer not to be around. Being honest, negative people, and especially people who have a critical attitude about everything and everybody. It seems, and you say, Brother Harold, why are you teaching this today? Because I feel that too. That's some of the reason I teach what I do every day. It seems some people aren't happy unless they have something or someone to be critical of. A critical spirit is a, Lord just stirred in me too, that if you want to advance in life, you got to know how to get rid of a critical spirit. A critical spirit is an obsessive attitude of criticism and fault finding, which seeks to tear others down. It isn't hard to spot criticism. A person with a critical spirit usually dwells on the negative, sees character flaws in everybody they meet, except themselves, of course. People with a critical spirit are usually upset and generally have a problem or a complaint about almost everybody they meet or everything. They often have little control over their tongue, their temper, and have tendencies to gossip and slander, which Paul said were sins worthy of death. He did. Romans 1:29 through 32. Scripture warns us not to tear down others through criticism or judgment, as this can pose a serious stumbling block and cause irreparable damage to their faith. Romans 14:10 through 13, Classic Amplified. Why do you criticize and pass judgment on your brother? Why do you look down upon or despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. And so each of us shall give an account of himself, given an answer in reference to judgment to God. Then let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment on one another, but rather decide and endeavor never to be a stumbling block or an obstacle or a hindrance in the way of a brother. There's an old saying that we tend to judge others by their actions, and ourselves by our intentions. The truth is, we cannot rightly judge anyone else because we don't know the content of their hearts or their heart. We should be content to judge only ourselves and to seek to bring our lives in alignment with God's word. Here are seven causes to a critical spirit and how to overcome them. Number one, unconfessed sin. A critical spirit is often birthed by unconfessed sin. It also manifests in people who have unforgiveness toward others who may have offended them. Romans 2:1, Classic Amplified Bible. Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification. O man, whoever you are who judges and condemns another, for imposing as a judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself, because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same things that you censor and denounce. Number two, evil speaking, being negative. Ephesians 4:31, Classic Amplified. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you. With all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. This verse, this seven things plus, which contribute to a critical spirit, all of them need to be removed from our lives. That's where you need God's help. Number three, make me feel better at someone else's expense. That's what a critical spirit does. See, a person with a critical spirit often does so to make themselves feel better. Sad to say, the only way some people can feel better about themselves is by putting others down. The only way the critical person feels better is by making someone else feel worse. Proverbs 24:17, Classic Amplified. Rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, is overthrown. Our standard of behavior as believers is outlined in Romans 15, 1 and 2. Romans 15, 1 and 2. In the Classic Amplified Bible, which says, we who are strong in our convictions and of robust faith ought to bear with the failings and the frailties and the tender scruples of the weak. We ought to help carry the doubts and qualms of others, not to please ourselves. Let each one of us make it a practice to please, make happy his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him, to strengthen him, and build him up spiritually. Which leads right into number four, spiritual immaturity. Believers of all ages, but especially younger, immature believers, must keep their focus on Jesus and his word, not the man or woman of God who may fail. Hebrews 12:2, Classic Amplified. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and source of our faith, giving first the incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He who for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When a critical person begins to notice flaws in their pastor, or even leadership in the church, or just local members, the enemy will use this critical attitude to drive a wedge in the body of Christ. I've heard it said that criticism becomes a reaction to disappointment in church leaders or even members. Number five, an unrenewed mind. I've discovered that conversation with an unrenewed mind always goes to the lowest common denominator. An unrenewed mind births put downs, criticism, sarcasm, which are the world's way of reacting to the faults of people. However, as Christians, we don't behave that way. Our thinking and attitude should be renewed by the Word of God, which teaches us to bear the infirmities of the weak, to love, show compassion, and encouragement. Romans 12:2, one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 12:2 in the Classic Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Hallelujah. Number six, the enemy. The devil is a master of criticism and lies. In the Garden of Eden, he deceived Eve with evil, calculating, and critical words. The enemy wants to stir up turmoil and strife within the body of Christ, within our families and among our friends. Ephesians 6:12, classic Amplified. For we wrestle, the Amplified says this way, for we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness and the heavenly supernatural spirit. We must never give the enemy the satisfaction of us using a critical voice to the ears of another believer. That's why the Bible warns us not to give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27, classic Amplified. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. See, we need to always remember that Satan is specifically called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12:10. We should never be an accuser of the brethren. Number seven, ways to overcome a critical spirit. First, be an encourager, lifting up other believers, helping them to become all that God intended them to be. We should be encouragers to others, just as Barnabas was to Paul. Second, spend time reading the word and in prayer. By putting the good stuff in, we're removing the bad, critical words of our past. Third, create a confession to help us overcome the critical spirit. Something like this. Heavenly Father, forgive me for criticizing, blaming, and passing judgment on others. I ask you to change my thought process by changing the way I think. Let the attitude and new ideals found in your word become a reflection of what I think and how I speak. Help me to be merciful to others, just as you are merciful to me. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Fourth, learn to think before you speak. Talk about a strong scripture. Ephesians 4:29. Classic Amplified Bible. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Recently, I read where the average person speaks enough words each week to complete a 500-page book. That's right. The question is, or should be, what's the book about, and what's the impact of our words? James 1:26, classic Amplified. If anyone thinks of himself to be religious, piously observant of the external duties of his faith, and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is worthless, futile, barren. One final scripture that should be part of our daily expectation and confession. Psalm 19:14, King James. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How do you overcome a critical spirit? Three words. Watch your mouth. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. It's all we ever ask. While you're there, make sure you check out this week's two-minute video and be looking in the mail. We've sent you a letter, very, very special letter. I want you to be looking for it. It has to do with a tabernacle. It's amazing. God said, do it again. Anyhow, look for it. It's in the mail to you. I'll tell you more next week about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking rich thoughts.